Welcome to The Author Show, where we feature new authors and books, from fiction to self-help and everything in between. You'll find it all at theauthorshow.com. That's theauthorshow.com. And now let the show begin.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming to the program author Gary Robert Pennell, and he is the author of Lydie Marlin's Letters to Grace Murray, 1926 to 1945. Before I bring in today's guest, a quick reminder that selected interviews are available at our website, as well as on major platforms like Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and many more. Gary, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, I was a newspaper reporter for 35 years, and now I'm no longer a tool of the man. I'm retired, so I'm writing books.
Well, tell us about your book.
Well, it's a rags-to-riches story. It's about E.W. Marlin, who was one of the richest men in the world in the Roaring Twenties, but he went back to rags. The company was stolen from him by J.P. Morgan Jr. He also lost, immediately after that, $30 million in the stock market in the great crash of 1929. And in between that time, he married his adopted daughter.
Now, who did you write your book for specifically? Who's your target audience here?
This book that I wrote, Lydie Marlin's Letters to Grace Murray, have mental illness themes. So I'm writing to people who are, by no fault of their own, emotionally unstable. They are also people who violated a sacred taboo. That is to say, they married a family member and they shouldn't have done it.
So could you say there's any type of central message or perhaps underlying theme that you would say runs throughout your book?
Well, there are two central themes, the cost of violating those taboos and emotional illness. People talk about bad karma. Doing bad stuff like cheating leads to future problems. E.W. and Lydie Marlin's taboo relationship may have caused their bad karma.
So if you had to choose, what would you say is the single most important idea you're sharing in your book that's really going to add value to the reader's life?
Same answer, really. Cause and effect. Do the right thing and good things will come your way. Do the wrong thing and expect negative results.
So if you were asked to compare your book with any book out there we might already be familiar with, which book would it be and why?
Well, you won't be familiar with it, but the book that I would compare it to is called The Broken Statue. It's a screenplay. It was purchased by Harvey Weinstein in 2012. He contracted with an Academy Award nominee director, David O. Russell, to direct the movie. They cast Oscar-winning actors Jennifer Lawrence stars Lydie. However, Harvey Weinstein was arrested in 2018, convicted of rape and sexual abuse, and he was imprisoned. Bad karma. 80 women accused Harvey Weinstein of sexual harassment or rape, including Kate Beckinsale, Helena Bonham Carter, Heather Graham, Ashley Judd, Gwyneth Paltrow, Angelina Jolie. And before that, of course, Harvey had been one of Hollywood's most powerful directors before the fall.
So who was E.W. Marlin?
He went broke in West Virginia in 1907, came to Oklahoma in 1908, and 3 years later, he struck oil. And then he struck oil again and again and again. And by the 1920s, 11 years later, he was the world's richest independent oil man, and his company was called Marlin Oil Company, which you've never heard of, but most people have heard of Conoco, which is what his oil company became.
So who was Lydie Marlin?
Lydie Marlin was a poor girl who grew up in Flower Town, Pennsylvania. She was the niece of E.W. Marlin's wife, Virginia. And Virginia and E.W. never had children. I don't know exactly why, whether it was E.W.'s problem or Virginia's, but Virginia wanted to have children. So did E.W. He wanted a boy, of course. Virginia wanted a girl. And so they invited Virginia's sister's two oldest children, Lydie and George, to come to Oklahoma and just enjoy themselves for the summer. Lydie and George came about four times. And after that, UW and Virginia offered to adopt them. And so George and Lyte became rich, rich children.
So why were they famous during the Roaring Twenties?
Well, E.W. liked to talk to the media. He was a quote machine, and he was also the world's richest independent oil man. He was the independent wildcatter's answer to Rockefeller. Rockefeller was the richest man in the world, richest oil man in the world, and E.W. was the richest independent oil man in the world. And he always talked to the media when the media questioned him. And so he had a public company. So people invested in Martin Oil stock. And for a long time, they made a lot of money.
So what happened to EW?
Well, EW loved to borrow money. He could not go a day seriously without borrowing money. He borrowed millions every day to finance his oil operations. And of course, that's what oil people do. They borrow money. But EW was a spendthrift. He built four mansions. The one that exists today is the Martin Mansion in Ponca City, Oklahoma. And it is a 55-room mansion that cost $2 million to build. It would have been $20 million if it were built today. And it's still open to the public. You can go there and see it. It's beautiful. It's like the Sistine Chapel in there. Every wall, every ceiling is painted. They use gold leaf on one ceiling of one of the two ballrooms. The other one is painted like the Sistine Chapel.
So what happened to Lyte?
Well, immediately before the engagement was announced, she had already been engaged for maybe a month or so, she had an emotional problem. It was described in the New York Times as a nervous ailment, but she went to the hospital, and when she left the hospital, she went to an asylum in Atlantic City, and she had mental health problems for the rest of her life. That may have been due to the fact that she might have had, and there's no way to prove this, no way for anyone to prove it, but there were rumors at the time that she had a baby with EW while she was his daughter, before she married him.
So what's the moral of this story?
Well, back to bad karma again. If you do bad things happen. It's the same thing that I've been saying all along.
So what do you feel makes your book relevant today?
Reminding people of the price to pay. EW didn't seem to pay a price. He was elected, after he lost his money, he was elected to Congress and then as governor of Oklahoma from 1935 to 1939. He was our Depression governor. He was our Dust Bowl governor. So he was one of our most important governors. But Lyte certainly did pay the price. Her own friends turned against her, called her a gold digger for marrying one of the richest men in the world. The truth is about that. She was his daughter before she married him. She would have inherited all of his money anyway. But after she was engaged, she checked into that New York City hospital, and she wrote to her friend several times about being depressed. She wrote to her lawyer about being manic, and she was Jackie Kennedy beautiful. She was a stunning woman. There are pictures of her today in her ball gown. She could be in Hollywood. She disappeared in 1953 after her husband died, after EW died in 1941. She disappeared in 1953, and she disappeared for 22 years. She was found by her lawyer in Washington, D.C., came back to Oklahoma 22 years later, and she was dressed like a bag lady. She was toothless. And, of course, that is in keeping with people who are mentally ill.
So have you had any feedback yet from readers?
Yes, I promote this book on Facebook, and I've gotten tens of thousands of views on Facebook, hundreds of comments, and there's about 115 years of misinformation out there, and I get a great deal of pleasure out of correcting that.
So what's been your most rewarding experience since publishing your book?
Well, for me, writing is joy. While promoting this book on Facebook, I've gotten more than 100,000 post views. That's rewarding. Facebook readers discuss the Marlins. They react emotionally to Lydie. They treat her as if she led a heroic life, which is kind of puzzling to me, but that's rewarding. I was interviewed by KGOU, my hometown public radio station, about the Marlins, and of course, that's rewarding. I'm finishing my third book. The working title is Lydie Marlin, the adopted daughter who married her oil tycoon father and their mad decisions. And of course, I'm being interviewed by Don McCauley for the author's show. That's a lot of rewards.
So, did your environment or upbringing perhaps play any major role in your writing?
Well, I listen every day to people state their opinions about Trump or Biden or God in science. I'm a journalist. I was a journalist for 35 years. I was a reporter, an editor, a photographer, and I realized that when words are based on opinions, not research, not facts, that they're just opinions. I try not to do that. When I read what I've written, when I edit what I've written and I stated an opinion, I try to back it up with facts.
So how would you describe your writing style?
Well, as I said, I'm a reporter, an editor, and photographer at 13 newspapers. I learn to use the least possible words. I write about subjects that I've exhaustively researched.
Now, most authors have a very specific reason for writing a particular book. What was your reason for writing this book?
Well, I was writing a double biography, my third book, about E.W. and Lydie, and I found a reference on the internet to about 50 letters that Lydie Marlin had written. Those letters were archived at the University of Oklahoma, and so I thought, well, what the heck? I took an afternoon off, I went to the library, and I photographed those 50 letters. And they were a treasure trove of information about E.W., the Marlin Mansion, her lifestyle after E.W. lost his fortune in the great stock market crash of 1929. But they were mostly about her relationship, about her mental illness. And in many cases, it's things that people assumed, but they are wrong about. So I spent months transcribing her writing, which in some cases was almost just indecipherable. And I published those letters on Amazon, and in most cases, I wrote also about the context of what the letters meant.
So, in your opinion, who should buy your book?
Lovers of true, fascinating stories. In Oklahoma, the Marlins were like the Kennedy family. The E.W. was like a king. He had a royal fortune. He built a real palace, still there. His son and daughter were often referred to as a prince or a princess. And after E.W. married Lydie, his daughter, his adopted daughter, readers around the world followed his story much the same as they did after Woody Allen married his adopted daughter, Suni Previn, in the 1990s.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's GaryRobertPennell.com.
And could you spell your name for us, please?
Yes, it's GaryRobert. PINNELL.com.
Well, this has been just great. Our guest today has been Gary Robert Pennell, and he is the author of Lydie Marlin's Letters to Grace Murray, 1926 to 1945. Gary, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me on your show.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of The Author Show. Go out there, buy the book today, and please share this interview with your friends so they too have the opportunity to discover our guests and their work. The Author Show can be accessed at any time at theauthorshow.com. And whether you're an author who would like to be featured or a reader in search of new books to read, The Author Show is a great place to start. Check us daily as we continue to introduce wonderful authors of very interesting books on The Author Show.
Thanks for listening to The Author Show. Find out more about authors and their work at theauthorshow.com. Theauthorshow.com. Tune in next time to another great author on The Author Show.